Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for the professor, you can start texting those in to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get a few of those in before we let John go. Hello, John.
Hello, guy. We missed you yesterday. I missed you.
I missed you too, John. I appreciate you.
You taking Mondays off now?
Yeah, every Monday from now on.
Oh, okay.
No. Just, trying to use some vacation time that I haven't used yet.
What's that word again?
Vacation.
Vacation?
Starts with a V.
Yeah.
You've heard it before.
I've heard it. Don't take advantage of it, but I heard it.
Well, John, now they've got the deadline set for people to opt out. So what do you expect to see? I know this was a point of contention for some out there, but the deadline's officially set for Thursday. We've seen a couple guys opt out. I think, Marcus Gilbert, the right tackle from the Cardinals. You had a defensive tackle from the Browns. Alan Hearns from the Dolphins. What do you expect to see?
We're down to, because of course Thursday is now the deadline, which of course I know that Patriots safety Devin McCourty was upset about that because he says, well, look how mean the NFL is to us because they're trying to get a faster deadline. And it's like, well, wait a second. The deadline was originally going to be August 1st, and then you can't opt out of that unless there's special circumstances. And then what they did is that it's supposed to be 7 days after you get the agreement. They got the agreement done on the opt-outs yesterday. And so they said, hey, let's move this thing up. It's going too long right now. So Thursday at 1 o'clock is the deadline. We're at 53 players opting out right now. I think there's maybe, we're seeing like four or five a day. So maybe tomorrow there'll be three, four, or five, and maybe three, and that'll take it maybe to 60, and that should be about it. But, it's been pretty active. I mean, C.J. Mosley, one of the best players out there, I mean, he's opting out. We still have the big guy controversy. I guess you can't call it controversy because big guys are at risk, and so that's why you're seeing like nine defensive tackles and, 11 or 12 offensive linemen. I mean, you can see that Marcus Gilbert was a natural to opt out because, he's coming off an ACL surgery. He's been in the league a long period of time. That kind of made sense. But in the end, I think what you're going to notice is that, you take a lot of big guys out. Now it's going to be hard to replace some of the big guys, particularly the three starting defensive tackles. There's going to be the C.J. Mosley situation with the New York Jets. He opted out of a $17 million contract. And where it's going to also cause problems is you move these contracts into next year and there's maybe $25 million less cap room. And so teams are even being more pressed to try to squeeze under the cap and keep guys. You can understand with the health of the players, that you don't want to take a risk sometimes with your body or your family. And, the NFL is comfortable in allowing players to opt out.
John, you said 53, only one Seahawk, right? Chance Warmack?
Yes, just one Seahawk.
Right? Yeah. So in most of these cases, and you may not know this, are these because they're either big guys that have like sleep apnea or something, some underlying condition, or is it a family member that maybe is at risk? Is that usually
I would say in maybe 10 of the cases, I'd have to go into specifics on that, but I think in 10 of the cases, what you're looking at is players that have a wife that's just having a baby, or like in a couple, they have three kids, and you just feel, I just can't risk it. And so you can understand it from that standpoint. I think the big guys, certainly there is a sleep apnea entity to it. How many would have sleep apnea? I don't know. But also, if you're going to be a big guy, you've been in the league like Marcus Gilbert for, more than, 9-10 years, that you've had enough surgeries that's going to put you at risk anyways, and you're coming off an ACL like he was, perfectly understandable. But, family reasons and, big guys, I think, I was kind of surprised that Alan Hearns, the wide receiver from Jacksonville, opted out because, he's a pretty talented slot receiver, so he opted out of Miami. But in the end, it's like, hey, if you're feeling like it's too much of a gamble, it's better not to do it.
Hey, John, what are you hearing about these false positive tests for COVID with Matt Stafford and Gardner Minshew?
Was it a false positive on Minshew?
Or maybe it wasn't on
Minshew. No, it wasn't a foul, and because Minshew said that
Minshew's,
he was.
Well, all of a sudden he's active, though. Yesterday we were talking about, okay, he tested positive, he's got to quarantine, but now he said he's good to go. So
yeah, but he said the quarantine was brutal. He said he was really feeling in bad shape. So, I mean, he had something. And, again, you don't know when he got it. You don't know if he got it working out with players, you know, 2 weeks before camp started, because I know he was one of the players working out with guys down in Jacksonville. So you don't know when they got it. All you know is that you can get – and because, like, even today, I counted up, there's 93 guys that have tested positive so far since coming to camp, and you're getting a lot of those guys back. I mean, Jacksonville, for example, they had 12, and I think now they got 7 of the guys back, including Minshew. The Matthew Stafford one, that one was poorly handled because, one, I know HIPAA may not be a fan of this, but, you know, they do put out who has the positive test, and that's the National Football League, thank heavens, so we get to know as much information as we can. But when they said that, Matthew Stafford tested positive, then it turned out bad because his wife was just absolutely livid, because what ended up happening is that, people who were right around where she lives and where Matthew lives and the family lives, you know, they shied away from her. I mean, she went to the grocery store and they wouldn't even let her in the grocery store, and people were ridiculing her. It was like, well, you can't be around here. Your husband has the virus. I know that the school that the kids were going to, and I don't know how the kids are going to school right now, but it's like they got banned from being in the building. And so that was a lot of nasty stuff on what was a false positive test. And so you can see Stafford, and more so his wife, is just absolutely furious, and rightfully so.
So Ziggy Ansah is working out for the San Francisco 49ers. What is the word on him in terms of what he's got left in the tank? Obviously, he was still dealing with his injuries while with the Seahawks last year. So is there a belief that, hey, he's 100% now, or he's going to be decidedly better physically than he was last year?
Hard to tell, because, again, last year was not a complete thing. Now, you can see, as Dave Wyman keeps saying wisely, that he did hustle. He just couldn't do much more, and I think a lot of that has to be the shoulder. And you have to think everybody's suspect right now, because, you know, here he is in August and he doesn't have a job. But DJ Reed, a defensive tackle on the team, suffered a torn pec injury, and so they needed another defensive tackle. So not only did they bring in Ziggy, which you kind of figure he's going to sign, because, you know, he's, I think, now in day 2 of his COVID test. And so, you know, and again, he'll have a physical once he gets through the COVID test, but they seem to be really interested. And I know I go back to last year at the, I think it was at the Indy Combine. Yeah, I think it was the Indy Combine. No, it was the owner's meeting. In the owner's meeting, I know that I was standing next to his agent and the 49er brass, and they were really talking it up and talking contract and things like that. So they were interested, but the numbers, you know, weren't going to be good. And really, his agent, who's very smart, Frank Bauer, took the position. It's like, I'm not going to do anything until, you know, he has some sign of where he is trying to heal from the injury. Because, you know, Frank was realistic. He's a former coach, and he was basically saying that it's like, okay, he'll be okay and able to practice by August 15th, and then he had the leg injury, and that delayed things a couple weeks. But, you know, we'll see if he's healthy now, and if so, my guess, he's going to be a 49er. They also have brought in Deion Jordan, a former Seahawk. So those are the two guys that they're looking at to replace DJ Reed.
Yeah, I remember at one point Deion Jordan, and he ended up having a PED test positive here,
right.
That was a couple off seasons ago. But, you know, you mentioned the combine. We were just talking about DK Metcalf, John, and he, you know, we forget watching how good he was last year. He ran a 4.33 at the combine, and what a great rookie he has been. And, you know, I like to think a lot of it's because of his family background and everything, but we were just talking about the reason why he fell to the second round. It was mostly because of his neck, right. Was that
the reason he fell to the second round, which was really silly, had nothing to do with injuries or anything of that nature. What it had to do with was the fact that he did poorly in the shuttle. I mean, he had a real slow time in the shuttle, which, of course, I don't think you have to do that as a wide receiver. That doesn't seem part of the equation. But, yeah, the shuttle was the thing that really hurt him. And so here he was. He does a 4.33. He lifts like an offensive lineman because he was right up there with most of the top offensive linemen lifting 225-pound rates. He had an unbelievable high jump and all those different things. But the fact that he didn't do well in the shuttle came back to haunt him.
Huh.
Go figure.
Yeah. All right, John, did you call Tom Brady and wish him happy birthday yesterday?
I did not, no.
All right, he turned 43, John.
Mm-hmm. 43. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Warren Moon, Doug Flutie, Vinny Testaverde, and George Blanda, the only other quarterbacks in NFL history to play 43 years of age or older.
Of course, George Blanda was a kicker by then. So let's put it this way. Jim, Bob, and I will include that. Dave Wyman will not.
He's a straight-on kicker, no less.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. But okay, so and all these other guys at the age of 43, they stunk, John. But you're saying since he's the GOAT, the greatest of all time, mm-hmm. that he's not going to stink.
He's not going to stink.
Okay. But he's not going to be great either, is he?
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to throw for 4,500 yards. And the reason I say that is that, what did he throw for, like 4,200 last year? And they were bereft of good wide receivers and tight ends and things of that nature. Well, he goes down now to Tampa. I mean, he's got the best wide receiver duo in football, you know, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. He's got three tight ends, including Gronk and O.J. Howard, a former first-round pick. And then to make matters even better, you know, he's got now they got Shady McCoy at running back, and you know, Aaron, they got a Jones out there at running back. So I think he's in pretty good shape right now. And you know, their offensive line's a little thin. One injury or two injuries could really hurt them. But I think he's going to do pretty well. I mean, some people went overboard and think he's going to take that team to the Super Bowl. I can't see it in the NFC. There's too many good teams and too many good quarterbacks. It's not like the AFC that he came out. We're always doing is, you know, beating up on bad teams and young quarterbacks. You know, there's the 12 quarterbacks right now in the NFC that are making $21 million a year or more. So it's going to be a little bit tougher, but I think he's good enough to make the playoffs as a wild card.
Hey, John, skipping over Antonio Brown because I just don't want anything to do with the guy. But when will we find out what the punishment for Josh Gordon is going to be? And what do you think? Because he's already served a suspension of sorts. I don't know if there's going to be more tacked on. But sounds like either way, Pete is more than leaving the door open for his return.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it should be pretty soon. I mean, I don't see why the delay is. I know part of the problem was, at least, you know, in July, there was a difficulty getting anybody to be able to give him a drug test because things were so bottled up because of the virus. And, you know, he didn't have the opportunity to go get a drug test for the league, and that's going to be necessary. But, you know, you'd have to think that it's got to be soon because, you know, camp is starting and you've got Randy Gregory, several other guys that have been sitting out waiting for that to, you know, to get the chance to find out if they can, you know, at least play some this year. And I can't imagine there's going to be anything in Josh Gordon's record that says he can't, because you'd have to think, you know, as visible as he's been on Twitter, talking about Seattle, working out here, you know, being with Russell Wilson a little bit, you know, I have to think that he's got to be cleared. But, you know, right now it's a little slow in the league office. And I guess, you know, part of that has to be that they're so backed up, you know, trying to get all these agreements done, because they had to get the agreements done as far as just like yesterday on the opt-outs and, you know, final things as far as what players are allowed to do or not. I'm glad, for example, one of the things that they opened up now is that Patrick Mahomes, save his soul, is now going to be allowed to go see some Kansas City Royal baseball games, because as long as they put him in a separate box with no more than 10 people in there, and so he will be able to go watch his baseball team that he just bought. So, no, but I'd have to think it's got to be within the next week. And, you know, we saw it last week and think we'll probably see this for the next couple weeks. We always call it the Friday news dump. You know, they put the Antonio Brown on the Friday news dump last week. Maybe they could put the Josh Gordon reinstatement on Friday this week, you know, when they always like to dump the news.
Hey, John, we were talking about linebackers at the start of the show. They got seven. They let Ellerbe go the other day, I believe.
Yeah, he was waived injured, so he had an injury. Yeah. So,
right. Okay, so you got KJ, Bobby, Bruce Irvin is listed as a linebacker, can play there, of course. Shaquem Griffin, Ben Burkervin, Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton. Usually linebackers really a big part of special teams, but like we heard from Moyer, like there's not a lot of returns, there's not a lot of, I mean, kickers and punters are becoming so good that they're getting touchbacks and then they're punting and they're not out kicking their coverage. There's not a lot of returns. Who do you think is the odd man out there, or do they keep seven linebackers?
I think they can keep seven linebackers, because I don't know if they're going to, they're not going to be like last year. I think they keep seven wide receivers, you know, because they may have to save room after Rashad Penny comes off PUP to have that extra spot for him, you know, I don't know if they want to cut one of the two University of Miami running backs, but in the end, I think that they may go five wide receivers, and you know, certainly I think they can keep seven linebackers because, you know, say what you want about Shaquem Griffin, I mean, he's not going to be necessarily in the mix to be able to do anything on the a linebacker or a defensive end. You've got too many guys ahead of him, but I think that they've got to designate the special teams players, and he's one of the better ones, so I think he's okay. So I think they can keep seven. Because, again, what they'll is if they keep seven, then and if you include Irvin in that group, that means instead of having 10 defensive linemen, then they'll keep 9 defensive linemen because Irvin's going to swing between strong side, outside linebacker, and defensive end.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you count Bruce as a defensive end, you really only have 6 anyway, and that's usually about what they keep, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why I think they're going to keep 7. I mean, it makes sense because, you know, in case of injury or anything else, you don't know about the virus during the season taking anything down. But, no, I think that Shaquem has a good chance to make the team. It's going to come down close because what will happen, an injury here or there could cause somebody to, you know, they have to take a roster spot that they're going to need, and that could cost Shaquem because he'll be on the bubble. There's no question about it. But I think they can keep 7 linebackers.
John, interesting move by the 49ers signing tight end Jordan Reed. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, because they're definitely. I mean, I don't think it has too much to do, but maybe to a certain degree it does. You know, with the George Kittle negotiations, because you know, one thing we know about George, I mean, he's great, but he probably is now asking for too much than they can pay. Because I think you know his market should be 12 and 13, and he's probably asking for receiver money at 17 or 18, and that's not that dog won't hunt. So now what? You know, here's a chance to you know get a tight end who has you know Pro Bowl history. He's went to the Pro Bowl about 5 years ago. He can catch the ball. He's had concussion issues, but you know why not? And I think this goes now into you know the escalation of the competition now between Seattle and San Francisco in this division because it's like, okay, you went out and you traded for Jamal Adams. So I said, okay, fine. We're going to come in. It's like, you know, they already, when they had opening at cornerback, you know, they brought Taylor in, former Seahawk. And then, of course, now they got two former Seahawks they're looking at for defensive end. And now they add a former Pro Bowl real good pass-catching tight end in Jordan Reed. So I think that, you know, they're starting to try to say, oh, wait a second, Seattle's catching up to us for talent. Let's start to move ahead a little bit.
John, the 425 wants to know which of the following three scenarios are most likely. Season starts and finishes on time. Season is postponed or delayed. Season is canceled altogether.
Season starts and finishes on time. And the reason I say that is that, okay, so we realize there could be a second wave. But as poor as this is being handled right now, can this second wave be any worse than what it is right now? You know, 1,000 deaths a day. You know, you're up to 150+ million people that have died. And so if everybody in the league can try to take care of themselves and take care of their own teammates, then I think they can get through this because, you know, say what you want. You've got to make sacrifices if you're going to be a player. You know, one, if you're going to, you know, this team has great leadership, and the leadership should keep the young guys from not going out. I know it's not going to be perfect, but still, I think that can work. The other thing that I think can work now is that, okay, you've got three bubbles. You've got the Seahawk facility, and you know that's going to be safe. You know the hotel can be made safe because, you know, technically if you're going to be in the hotel, the team hotel, you're not going to be allowed to leave the hotel. There are so many limitations on what you can do and what you can't do. But, you know, do you think that there's a chance that Dwayne Brown can keep the young offensive lineman like Damian Lewis in tow? I think he can. Do you think that, you know, K.J. Wright, Bruce Irvin, and Bobby Wagner can keep Cody Barton and, you know, Jordan Brooks in tow? I would think so. You think that Jamal Adams, Shaq Griffin, and also Quandre Diggs can take the young guys in the secondary in tow? So I think, you know, if you have that leadership, and then you still have Russell Wilson, you have Tyler Lockett with the wide receivers, so I think you're covered. You know, you get Greg Olsen with the tight ends. So as long as the young guys don't misbehave on this team and other teams, and remember, unlike baseball, yeah, they have 30 players, and they have a 30-man taxi squad and all that stuff. Well, the NFL, you have a 16-man practice squad. And 10 of those guys, I mean, you know, you can sign anybody on that six-person practice squad at any age. I mean, Dave Wyman could be signed and go on the practice squad for $12,000 a week. And so with that in mind, you know, you can now have bodies ready to fill in if necessary.
Dang, I wouldn't blame you if you did that, Dave. 12 grand a week sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, well, John, next time you talk to Pete, if you could just ask him sure. if that's a possibility, I'd love that. Hey, who was your, this morning you did breakout player in 2020. Who was your breakout
Mine was L.J. Collier, because I think he's the one who can break out. I think that I know Brock Hewitt had Will Disley as the guy that can break out. And but I went with L.J. Collier because I think he comes in with a chip on his shoulder. I think he comes in knowing he has a chance to start, and you know that could be good for him. Now Disley obviously has a chance to start because you know they love the way he plays, and he was able to pass his physical yesterday, so at least he's available now. But I'd have to think that I would look very seriously at you know having L.J. Collier as the guy that, because again, I mean they need him to step up and start, and I think that he could have done more last year, but they didn't get him on the field as much, and part of that was because he was so close to having a season-ending injury early that it set him back, and it probably had them question the confidence of where he was. But now I think he can come to camp, you know, start getting through the padded practices starting August 17th, and then really start to make a run at this stuff.
Professor David Johnson, who was traded to the Texans, he's out to prove the skeptics wrong. You think he will, John?
I think so. I mean, I think that he can fit better in this offense than he did with Cliff Kingsbury, because that's the thing. I mean, when you go to different offenses, and you know it from the you know the spread offense and the air raid and stuff like that, you know, some backs fit, some guys didn't. And so, for example, in the case of you know Fred, he didn't fit in that air raid type of offense as a running back. I mean, that's why you know they made the move and got Drake from Miami, and he seemed to fit better. But I have to look at you know what you can see from. I think that Bill O'Brien can maybe get more out of him, but then, of course, you know, Bill O'Brien gets more. I mean, he pays more for anything else. I mean, you know, he lost his starting running back, Lamar Miller, and Carlos Hyde came in and gained over 1,000 yards. But, you know, he's more of a traditional type of running back, and so I think he can actually do pretty well there.
John, one last one from a listener, 425 asking, when can fans expect Seattle to confirm attendance rules in terms of number of fans, if any fans allowed?
It'll be the local municipality and Governor Inslee. My guess it would probably be, you know, maybe August the 21st or something like that. You know, I'd say 3 weeks. 2.5 to 3 weeks, you know, because again, it's like, you know, you got to see how the numbers go as far as positive tests and all that stuff. And, you know, and what's amazing is that, you know, the state has been doing well, maybe a little bit too high at 5.6% positive tests. But if you look at the King County numbers, they're incredible. I mean, you know, they've been now for the, I think, on the 2 week period below 4%, which is sensational. And so you can see that the, you know, using the mask and, you know, trying to stay at home as best you can is definitely working here in King County. It's just now some of the rural areas are having problems and having, you know, big spikes. But I'd have to think probably 3 more weeks.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, there have been a lot of negative reports, mostly coming out of New York, questioning Jamal Adams' character after his exit from the Jets. But is his attitude actually just what the Seahawks needed? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's driven and powered by Dubin Law Group. So if you don't have the app, download it. It's free. You can listen to the show live. Take us out there in the sunshine with you wherever you go. You won't miss any part of the show. Or you can listen to the podcast from the app and text in, video. You've got everything at your disposal right there. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Gardner Minshew explains his false positive COVID test in true Gardner Minshew fashion. So stay tuned for that. But as we said right before the break, a lot of negative reports, the majority coming out of New York, questioning Jamal Adams, his character after his exit from the Jets, his attitude, whatever you want to say. And I get it coming out of New York. It's that spurn lover, right? It's the guy that said, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore. You're no longer interesting to me. I'm not attracted to you anymore, New York. I want out. So, you know, feelings are hurt. I get it. Pete Carroll addressed it, said he thinks it's ridiculous that people are questioning his character, and likes the fact that he's a fiery guy.
One of the things, you know, you can look at, you can see him be all fiery and interpret that like he's being selfish or like he's being, you know, overly outgoing or whatever. Come on. You know, this guy loves what he does, and he cares so much that the passion just explodes out of him at times, which is exactly what you've seen in players that we've had in our program for years. So to have a chance to add that to our team, forget all the playmaking stuff. It's that element of mentality that I'd love to add so that Bobby gets to play with a guy like that, and then Jay Reed gets to play with a guy like that, and Bruce, and they'll all feed off of each other because we all love to be that way. That's the way we love about this game, is cutting it loose and letting it go and getting to that primal mentality that this game allows. And
obviously zero issues with his character, his attitude, in fact embraces it, loves it, fits right in with what Pete wants to do on that side of the ball.
Primal mentality. Oh, I miss that. I miss that. No, that's look, I mean, he's always embraced those kinds of players. So, but look, I mean, Jamal Adams hadn't been a problem up until this point. I still like to think that he did it just to get out of there. And, you know, and we talked about that even, that, and I thought it would soften the blow as far as, you know, that maybe they would let him go a little bit cheaper, kind of like what happened with Clowney. I mean, he complained so much down there. Now, he did it in a different way, but, you know, they were not only willing to get rid of him for a couple of players and a third-round draft choice, but also they paid, what, seven of his $16 million in salary just to get him out of there. So I like to think that Jamal Adams did it for that reason. I guess I don't anticipate him being a problem if things go south here, you know. But, you know, to me, you know, I just feel like he just did it for that reason. You do want guys that are passionate and that care about football. And when you listen to him talk anyway, at least from the way he answers questions, which I think is really important, he loves football. So the one thing I hope, though, is that whenever if somebody in the media brings up any of that stuff with the Jets, what was wrong there, I think it would be a good move for him to say, you know what, that's in the past, and I'm just going to leave it there. But we'll see. You know, maybe he decides to talk about it a little bit. Maybe he feels like he needs to defend himself.
Well, he did talk a little bit about that with Seattle reporters, and he took the high road, which was, yeah, I think it's a good sign, Dave, because he said he had all the love in his heart for everyone back there in New York, and I know Boomer Esiason and others were putting their fingers down their throat and everything, but yeah, I'm excited about what Pete Carroll had to say, too, because I'm sure that Pete sees a lot in Jamal Adams that he sees in himself, because he's a fiery, passionate guy too, and that's something the Seahawks have been missing on their defense. And so you get a guy like Jamal Adams, and it's not just what he's going to do, and Pete mentioned that, the playmaking ability that he has, but he brings that element of the defense that the Seahawks have been missing since Sherman and Earl Thomas have been gone, like we talked about. And I would think that whole thing is just contagious to a defense too. So you got guys out there cutting it loose, as opposed to last year. It, you know, I don't sit here and break down defenses, Dave, but they were just being passive. They were more conservative approach, keeping things in front of them. I think that they're going to be attacking more this year.
Well, and our buddy Jake Heaps, you know, echoing what you're just saying there, Jim, saying the Seahawks defense has needed a guy with that swagger that Adams brings.
Bobby Wagner is not the in-your-face, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to beat you and then I'm going to go do it type of player that you had with Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. And Cam did it quietly, but his actions spoke louder than his words. Jamal Adams is a player that's going to tell you he's going to do something, and then he's going to go do it. And those are the types of guys with that much swagger, that much confidence, that much attitude. The Seahawks defense needs that presence.
How contagious is that, Dave? If you've got a guy who's an all-pro, which is what he is, and he goes out there and he talks and he backs it up, and he does carry himself with an attitude like that, how contagious is it to the rest of that locker room or that side of the ball?
Very, especially if the guy's accredited as he is. So, you know, he was all-pro last year and a three-time Pro Bowler, and he's also a captain there. So, yeah, all of a sudden you – but, yeah, I mean – I've seen guys try to be leaders in the NFL that didn't have the background. They didn't have the Pro Bowls. They didn't have the interceptions, the plays, and this guy has it. So, yeah, he's going to – but, you know, look, he's coming into a pretty veteran, you know, group. Jaron Reed took a big step, you know, once, you know, Bennett and, you know, Averill and those types of players started to leave. I mean, he was the lead dog in that Alabama defense when they won a national championship. And, you know, he kind of had to sit and be quiet for a little while. So you've got him, you've got Bobby, you've got KJ, and now you bring this guy in. And I feel like Diggs is that guy too. So, you know, and then you get your soft-spoken guys, you know, like kind of like Bobby. I'll say this about Bobby, though, and not, you know, directly refuting what Jake's saying, but he does pull guys aside individually and say, hey, this is what we need out of you, man. You need to do this and that. But he's right about he's not going to scream and yell and, you know, point at you and kind of like a Richard Sherman type of player. He's more, he does it in a different way, which is great because you need all kinds of different leadership. And I guarantee you when Bobby talks, people listen. But, you know, this guy's just a little bit different, a little bit more passionate, a little bit more verbal. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, I can't wait to see him take on blocks because that's one thing he does. He attacks blockers, man. And like everybody, and we talked about it yesterday, Jim Bumpus brought this up, that this guy doesn't just tackle people, Jamal Adams. He wants to hit them. He wants to hurt them. He wants to make, not injure, just hurt. You know, there's a big difference there, And he wants opposing offensive players to feel it. And so, yeah, it's very contagious.
Well, and whenever you say that, Dave, you're looking forward to seeing him taking on blocks or players in the past taking on blocks, I always think, well, I wonder why they're not doing that when Dave says it's so important. And so I'm excited to hear about a guy in Jamal Adams who's going to be taking on blocks. And, you know, another guy out there that I think is going to be fun to watch is Bruce Irvin. He's a guy that's got some personality. He's got some swagger, too. So, and I think it's going to be even more important in home games this year. This might be just as an aside here, but you're not going to have 12s rooting you on this year. We still don't know exactly how many 12s will be allowed to go. But my guess, it's going to be zero. And so you're going to have to generate your own enthusiasm and passion. And you got a guy like Jamal Adams out there leading the way. I think that's going to help.
All right. As we said, Gardner Minshew explains his false positive COVID test in true Gardner Minshew fashion. That is coming up next when we sweep the dial with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
You know, with Jamal Adams, you saw all the trade capital that they had to give up, which the Seahawks, good for them. They made that decision. You also got to pay the man. And so that's one of the reasons he's not in New York. And so, you know, being up there against it with what's happening in the cap due to the pandemic, it just wasn't a reality for us.
That's 49ers GM John Lynch talking about Jamal Adams. That was courtesy of KNBR Radio. And he's right. He's not wrong. I mean, you know, they did give away a good chunk of, you know, draft capital. They are going to have to pay him if they want him to stick around. And obviously the 49ers weren't in a position financially to do something like that, it sounds like. So there you go. I think he's read the situation accurately.
Yeah, well, and it read differently when I saw it in print. And then when I heard it, I thought, you know, well, my first thought was, well, yeah, they gave up draft capital, but it's late round draft choices. And let's see how you do when you start winning and getting, you know, the last couple picks in every round. But the other thing, too, he said, you know, you also have to pay the man. But safety's not a position where, you know, like you got tight ends and receivers, and the receivers get, you know, way more. You've got outside, you know, edge rushers versus D tackles, they get a lot more. And same thing with corners and safeties. I mean, the safety number is lower than, say, you know, you look, I always point to Miami, who their two corners, they paid like $50-60 million contracts to, you know, over 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they're getting a really good player for not the 20, 22, 23,000 or million a year. It's going to be more like, I guess the professor told us, maybe 14, 15, 16, unless he wants to be one of these guys like George Kittle that thinks he's going to go outside of, you know, the tight end ranking and you know, get some kind of a, because remember Earl at one point wanted like $20 million. I want to be paid like the best defensive player in the league, but that's just not in the cards for safeties.
No, it's not, but that crossed my mind too, Dave, especially with Adams lining up all over the place. Whatever position gets paid the most, I'm sure that's what he's going to be asking for next year. And yeah, okay, so the 49ers aren't in position to go after a guy like Adams this year. The Seahawks are, but next year it's going to be different because Shaquille Griffin will be looking for a new contract, and if they get Quentin Dunbar, he'll be looking for a new contract, and then Jamal Adams too. But for 2020, the short term, things look pretty good on that defensive side of the ball.
Hey, Gardner, what was the quarantine like for you for, I guess, the 2 days you were in it? Scared a little bit about possibly contracting the virus, that kind of stuff?
Nah, it was brutal, dude. Like, yesterday, it had been, like, the first day of school, you know? Like, had my outfit picked out and everything. Had to stay at home. That sucks. Missed out. Had playing with all my friends. But, yeah, you know, did not contract the virus. It took one luck at me. Ran the other way. It's probably in its best interest. So here we are. We're back on Tuesday, ready to roll. Excited to get play some football.
The virus wanted no part of Uncle Rico.
Don't you love him, Bob?
I do, he's but, you know, Jim, when you put your foot on the gas pedal as heavy as you do, yeah, sometimes I almost root against him. But
yeah,
no,
well, I put it on the pedal while you were gone, too, by the way.
That's stunning. Yeah,
he gets brought up every show.
I know.
Every show he gets brought up.
I know.
I like the Uncle Rico. That's very fitting.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a Joe Namath type of guy, isn't he? Like
a
little bit off and...
Yeah, he dresses goofy. I mean, he's not wearing a full-length fur coat like Joe Namath, but he's wearing the jean shorts, and he's got the mustache, and, you know, he's a goofy guy. He seems like he's having fun with his place in life, and, you know, I think there have been some erroneous reports that he was, in fact, you know, dealing with the symptoms of the virus. He clearly says there, no, I wasn't. I was 2 days. I had my clothes laid out. I was ready. So there you go. That's good news that he didn't have to go through any of that, by the way.
All right, Bob, can I make a deal with you?
Sure.
Okay, if the Jaguars win the Super Bowl and they have a victory parade in Jacksonville, let's get on a flight and go down there and go to the parade. What do you say? Not this year. I'm just talking about sometime this decade.
As long as he's the quarterback, right?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. If the virus is gone, if the virus is gone, I'm in.
Okay.
As soon as Jim finished that, if I were you, I'd have said, no. No. Absolutely not.
Well, Clayton would have said, well, that's never going to happen. They're awful.
Yeah.
Are those people, obviously they're real people, but are those, well, they're not real people, but obviously they're pictures of real people. Did they pay for them? I don't really know the story, background.
A fundraiser for the community fund. Spending the money goes
to... Oh, tremendous. So how about I buy an entire section and it's just my face? Like 100 pictures of me.
Okay.
Is that a good idea? Mm-hmm. Would that be weird?
It's a little weird.
All right.
Be okay.
Let's get Charlie Frank on the horn. How much is that going to cost me?
$70,000?
Oh, my God. All right. I'll take 6 sections. Everyone, have a good night.
That's Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds, who's intrigued by those cardboard cutouts that we're seeing at all these stadiums. Mariners are no exception, telling reporters he's considering buying 6 sections with just his face on them. How funny would that be if all of a sudden all the big dollar guys in baseball started one-upping each other? You know, you got Giancarlo Stanton, who's making all his money. He buys a bunch of sections. And Mike Trout, with all of his money, buys a bunch of sections. And Garrett Cole. That'd be pretty funny to see that.
If you did that, would you put the same picture? Just a whole bunch of them, or would you like dress up differently in each one?
I think it'd be fun to get creative and have, you know, maybe 10, 15 different pictures, you know, you could put out there. That'd be fun.
Have you guys noticed any, I keep looking, thinking in the stands, the shots, that I'm going to see somebody that I know, but I've not seen anyone that I recognize.
I haven't either. And did you guys do a picture? Because I did one. The Mariners wanted all of the hosts to send in a picture.
You guys do it?
I did it, but I failed to follow directions.
No way!
Yeah, I know.
That's very un-Jim Moore-like.
Well, I lifted River up, and at least I had a Mariner hat on and a Mariner shirt, but I lifted River up, but I needed to lift him in front of me because there's only a certain amount of space, and so it was too wide, and then I never got around to doing it again.
How about you, Dave?
You know what? You just reminded me, and Jeanette, who is just such an awesome person at our station, I'm so sorry. I let her down. I'm supposed to do it after the show, and yeah, I got my Mariner hat, though. I'll get it done. Yeah. Did
you happen to see the story that Divish had? It was in the small type in the Seattle Times today about the cutouts.
No.
So we heard on Sunday that they were closing the roof on Sunday, and we're going, well, why are they doing that? It's a sunny day. And then come to find out that trying to put the players that are in the stands in a shaded area or helping with the COVID or something along those lines. I thought, okay, well, that makes sense, I guess. But part of it, the outfielders were complaining about the glare off of the cutouts when the roof is open during day games.
Mm.
So... I thought that was kind of interesting, though. It reminded me of Lloyd McClendon when he was talking about all the white shirts behind first base, and that's why Brad Miller was overthrowing the first baseman.
Because he couldn't see the tan glove or the black glove. Come on, man.
Yeah, I saw that in your email, Jim. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea, and obviously it's being used in around baseball, but it's pretty cool. But to answer your question, I've been looking, you know, when I've been watching games, like, do I see anybody that looks familiar there that I recognize? I haven't seen anybody yet. So, and I don't, do they rotate? Like, if you're right behind home plate, you're lucky enough to have that seat with your picture there, do you have that seat all season, or do they move them around?
They'd move them around. Yeah, the kids had the Pirates Twins game on today, and in Minnesota, I thought it was kind of cool. The cutouts at T-Mobile are partial body and head. They're just big heads there in Minnesota. So you just see big faces back there. It's kind of cool.
Perfect. Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. I'd love to see a player buy up a bunch of sections, though. The Joey Votto section or Mike Trout, whoever. I think it'd be pretty hilarious. All right, it is Tuesday, which means at 5 o'clock we unveil the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley. He's going to join us next year with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.